Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 results conference call of Godawari Power & Ispat Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Lahoti from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Lahoti.
Thanks, Manav. Good day, everyone. I'm glad to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today Mr. Abhishek Agrawal, Executive Director, Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, Executive Director, and Mr. Sanjay Bothra, CFO. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Amit. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the Q4 FY24 and FY24 full-year earnings conference of Godawari Power & Ispat Limited. Our financial results and earnings presentation are available on our website and on the website of stock exchanges. I believe that you have had a chance to review the same. I will take you through the results for which we will have the question-and-answer session. I am happy to inform you that GPIL has shown strong performance in Q4 and FY24 and has ended the year on a great note. The performance was driven by enhanced capacities of value-added products, increased production and sales of value-added products, cost saving through solar power plants, and high-efficiency turbine commissioned during the year, and operational leverage despite falling the realization in almost most of the value-added products except pellet, which was higher by 8% as compared to last year. Before discussing the financial performance in detail, I would like to update you on the debottlenecking CapEx and operating efficiency program, which was undertaken by the company 2 years ago and which is now almost complete in FY24. The financial results for FY24. In the financial year 2024, the company has received consent to operate the sponge iron plant with a higher capacity of 0.9 million tons from 0.49, and the steel billet plant with a capacity of 0.535 million tons against a capacity of 0.4 million tons. The company has commissioned solar power plant capacity of 145 MW out of 173 MW proposed capacity. In FY24, the company commissioned 45 MW solar power projects. Also, new high-efficiency turbine generator to replace old turbine has been commissioned and duly synchronized with the grid, which is leading to higher power generation by 7-8 MW without any additional fuel cost. The additional power generated from steel solar power plant and new turbine is being used for consumption in the steel plant to operate the plant capacities at a higher level, which is leading to cost saving both through the lower power cost and higher operating capacities, leading to improved operating margin and profitability. Our debottlenecking CapEx has also almost been completed except modification in one rolling mill, which has started trial operation and is expected to commission during the current quarter, along with 20 MW solar power project to meet the power requirement of the rolling mill and fabrication and galvanizing plant. All these CapEx are now almost complete. Money has been invested, and this will be operational by June 2024. These initiatives have started contributing to higher operating margins, and in this backdrop, the company's operating margin for FY24 has increased from 20% to 24% despite falling the sales realization across value-added products like sponge iron billets, wire rod, etc. Coming on to the operational performance for FY24, I'm delighted to share that GPIL has met its production guidance for FY24 for most of its products. It has achieved the highest-ever production volumes of sponge iron, steel billet, and captive power generation. We marginally missed our production target in iron ore, pellet, and ferroalloys on account of maintenance shutdown of pellet plant in Q1 FY24 and shutdown of ferroalloys unit in FY24 for debottlenecking purposes. One of the major competitive advantages of GPIL is that it has a captive iron ore mine. the captive iron ore landed cost for FY24 is 2,800 from the captive mine as compared to current market price of 6,800 rupees a ton. The prices of iron ore in auction conducted by OMC yesterday has increased by 800 to 1,000 rupees a ton. The iron ore mining and pellet production decreased by 11 and 7% respectively. The decrease in production of iron ore mine is closer because of closure of Boriatibu mine, and pellet is due to maintenance shutdown. Production volume of value-added products like sponge iron, steel billet, endless round wire, ferroalloys, and galvanized specific product has gone up. Coming to the sales volume, the iron ore pellet sales and sponge iron sales have dropped because of the increased captive consumption for manufacturing of value-added products. Sales for the steel billet, MS round wire rod, ferroalloys, galvanized fabricated product increased on account of commissioning of higher capacities. Realization of iron ore pellets has increased by 8% to over 10,000 rupees a ton. Realization of the other products dropped a decreasing trend. Coming on the consolidated financial performance, on quarterly basis, revenue for the quarter increased by 16% to 1,530 crore. On YOY basis because of increase in the sales of value-added product. EBITDA and PAT increased by 19% and 29% on YOY basis to 329 crore against 220 crore. EBITDA margin stood at 22% during the quarter. On annual basis, revenue dropped by 5% to 5,455 crore compared to last financial year due to lower trading sales by 250 crore. Slight decrease in production of pellet and fall in the realization across the product range except pellet. However, despite fall in the sales, operating EBITDA and PAT increased by 14% and 18% to 1,328 crore and 937 crore. EBITDA margin increased to 24% for the whole year as compared to 20% in the previous year. GPIL has healthy balance sheet with a net strong net cash balance of over 1,000 crore. The cash flow from operations during the year increased to 1,044 crore, up 5% as compared to FY23. Company has during the financial year 24 distributed total amount of 355 crores to the shareholders by way of final dividend for FY23 and buyback up to 150 crores. So including buyback tax and dividend, company has distributed 355 crore, which is 45% of FY23 net profit. The company could not announce dividend for FY24 due to certain technical reasons on the board meeting held yesterday for approval of accounts. We have now scheduled a board meeting of board of directors on 24th May to consider payment of dividend for the FY24. Our volume guidance for FY23 is as under. Production volume guidance for iron ore mining is 3 million ton, iron ore pellet 2.44 million ton, sponge iron 0.9 million ton, 0.59 million ton, steel billet 0.5 million ton, and ferroalloys 80,000 tons. Coming to update on our capex plan for the next phase of growth, as you are already aware, GPIL is planned to more than double the iron ore mining capacity at Arvind mine, expanding it from 2.35 million tons to 6 million metric tons. Anand's mining capacity shall be operational on receipt of environmental clearance, and current status is that the revised mining plan is filed and TOR is received. We are planning to hold the public hearing in the month of June or July 24. The preparations are on. GPL is also setting up a beneficiation plant at the Ridongdi mine with a capacity of 6 million tons. The estimated capex for the same is 200 crore, out of which 24 crore has already been spent. The beneficiation plant will be set up within a period of 15 months from the receipt of environmental approval and contains consent to set up from the State Pollution Control Board. GPIL is progressing towards its plan to increase the pellet capacity by 2 million ton. This will increase the total capacity of pellet to 4.7 million ton. Capex requirement for phase one expansion is 600 crore, out of which 32 crore has already been incurred for placement of orders. To meet additional power requirement of the proposed pellet plant, the board of directors in the meeting held yesterday has approved setting up an additional solar power capacity of 70 megawatt to meet the requirement of additional power for the proposed pellet plant. The pellet plant is expected to be commissioned coinciding with the commissioning of pellet plant in Q1 FY26. We have already started looking for identifying the land for the project, and we are quite confident that the project cell solar power plant also will be commissioned along with the pellet plant commissioning. As you are all aware, GPIL was focused on enhancing capacities for raw material for steel making and have not added meaningfully the capacity in finished steel making post 2007, except completing the integration of steel making capacity to 0.5 million ton through the metal locking process, which has just completed in FY24. GPIL, with support of strong cash flow, has decided to increase the capacity of integrated steel plant by 2 million ton, taking the steel making capacity to 2.5 million ton, that is 5x the present capacity. Through the blast furnace route, the capex for the same is, as announced earlier, is 6,000 crores. The public hearing for the project at a new location has already been completed. Environmental approval is awaited. Once the environmental approval is received, we will start the construction work at the site. Although no meaningful development has taken place because of the central election in last 2-3 months, but we are hopeful that once now that the election is almost complete and new government is expected to form in the first week of June, we are quite hopeful that we should be able to get the approval in Q2 FY25. The project will be commissioned in a period of 36 months from the receipt of the environmental approval and consent to set up. With the commissioning of new steel plant, the company will join the league of primary steel producers, although we are currently a secondary steel producer. Some of the other strategic updates. In order to strengthen the board of directors of the company, I am happy to announce that we have appointed two distinguished industry experts, Mr. Sunil Duggal and Mrs. Roma Valvani, as an independent directors on the board of directors of the company. Just to give you a brief introduction, Mr. Sunil Duggal has 37 years of experience in leading high-performance team and has also served as CEO and all-time director of Vedanta Limited and Hindustan Zinc Limited. He is chairman of the National Committee on Mining, Confederation of Indian Industry, former president of Federation of Indian Mineral Industries, former co-chair of 50 Non-Ferrous Metal Committee 2018, and former chairman of Skill Council for Development Council for Mining Sector in India. Mrs. Roman Balwani has 4 decades of experience in manufacturing companies like Vedanta Group, L&T, Mahindra Group, and various aspects of strategic business like sustainable development, brand management, stakeholders engagement, etc. We welcome Mr. Sunil Duggal and Mrs. Roma Balwani on the board. The board has further appointed Mrs. Neha Sunil Huddar and Mr. Hukumchand Daga as independent director, subject to approval of the shareholders in the EGM proposed to be held on 4th of July, to replace our present independent director, namely Mr. Sashi Kumar and Ms. Bhavna G. Desai, who are retiring by completing their terms in August 2024. The appointment of these two directors will further strengthen the board. Mrs. Neha Sunil Huddar has over 40 years of experience in finance, account, HR and compliance management. She has worked as head of finance at Reliance Foundation, vice president payroll at Reliance Industries, group CFO at Kirumalai Chemical, just to name a few. Mr. Hukumchand Daga also has an illustrious career, has more than 4 decades of professional experience in various Aditya Birla Group companies, namely Hindalco, Renuka Sugar, Dresim Industries, Indian Rare, AG Industries, Estel Mining. He was former president of Federation of Indian Mineral Industries, PB, and member of National Mining Committee of Confederation of Indian Industry. So we welcome this Mrs. Neha and Mr. Hukumchand Daga on the board of the company, and we are quite confident that with their experience, the company will be immensely benefited going forward. Coming on the market outlook, on the international front, global iron ore prices surged to $144 in January 24, up from $103 at the start of the year and is currently at $120. China imports were strong this year. There was no expletive steel production cut announced. At the same time, China domestic iron ore production lagged. World Steel Association is forecasting steel demand to grow by 1.7% to 1,793 million metric tons in 2024. Another 1.2% to 1,815 million tons in 2025. This argues well for the demand for iron ore. We expect the prices to be well supported around current level. World Steel Association foresees that the steel demand in China for 2024 will plateau, mirroring the level of 2023, owing to decrease in real estate investment. However, with this, a dip in the demand is expected to be counteracted by surge in steel demand driven by infrastructure projects and manufacturing sectors. On domestic part, iron ore prices, NMDC Fe64, have seen a significant increase to 5,260 rupees a ton. As I've said earlier, the iron ore fines prices in the yesterday's auction by OMC was at about 6,800 rupees a ton. Prices have recovered well from the low seen post imposition of export tax and have surpassed the high seen in calendar year 22 to 5,160 rupees a ton. On the other hand, pellet prices after touching 8,800 in July has increased to 10,500 in December and now currently hovering at about 11,300 rupees a ton. This is for Fe63 pellet. Our high-grade pellet is selling at about 12,500 rupees a ton currently. Given the positive steel demand outlook, pellet prices should remain well supported. India remains one of the bright exports globally for steel demand. World Steel Association forecasts India's steel demand to increase by 8.2% in calendar 24 and in 25 to 144 million tons and 156 million tons respectively. World Steel Association further predicts that India's steel industry will experience significant expansion propelled by sustained growth across all sectors, resilient on steel, particularly driven by domestic infrastructure investment. In conclusion, I want to highlight that GPIL's robust net cash balance sheet, advantage of captive iron ore mine, production of high-grade pellets, enhanced capacities, cost saving, reduction in carbon footprint through the solar power plant, strong capex plan, and over four decades of industry experience with the promoters, committed in visionary leadership, hardworking employees, and support from all stakeholders argues well for the growth of the company. I would like to open the floor for question and answer. Thank you. Now we can now open the floor for question and answer.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Jatin Damania from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand that in your initial remarks, you indicated that the cost saving through solar power plant and benefit from high efficiency turbine has supported the overall performance. So can you quantify what was the annualized saving that we did in FY24 and what could be the saving in for the FY25?
See, good afternoon, Jatin bhai. See, overall, our operating margins have increased by 4%. There was an average about 10 to 12% fall in the sponge iron prices throughout the year. You know, the average realization for the FY24, an 8% increase was there in the pellet. So, you know, if you take all these, the 4% increase in operating margin, which is about closer to about 200 crore, 5,000 crore total, is as a result of higher operating efficiency because of the solar power plant, new turbine, and higher capacities in the steel plant. So this entire 200 crore is being contributed by the operating efficiencies and this debottlenecking, solar power plants, etc., etc.
Yeah, but sir, the high efficiency turbine was started in the mid of the year, so does the solar power plant. So does that mean that the savings from this will be much higher than 200 crores what we did in FY25?
I hope so. Subject to adjustment of the increase decrease in the selling price, but definitely full year impact because of the solar power plants which have been commissioned in FY24, turbine commissioned sometime in November, December, steel plant started operating in Q4, will definitely support. Although, during the full year, we have been able to reach, like this point, we have reached to the optimum capacity of 600,000, that is 590,000. In the same year, still in this, we got the approval. Steel billet has reached to 475,000 tons. So additional 25,000 ton contribution will come from steel billet. Additional power generation through all these projects will definitely add to the profitability going forward in the next financial year.
Sure, sir. Thank you for that information. So second thing on your, if I'm looking at the overall capex, and in your slides also, definitely there is a cost overrun in the modernization and the expansion plan. So is it safe to assume that 30-35 crores of the increase in the overall cost is largely attributed to the increase in the debottlenecking capacity of the rolled products? And what will be the post debottlenecking, what will be the capacity of the rolled product?
You're very correct. There is a slight overrun, but yeah, it is on the rolled product capacity. The rolled product capacity, the mill is fully commissioned and operational, this financial year, probably this is the first year, we are targeting about 3.5 lakh tons, and going forward, we will achieve the full capacity of 4 lakh tons, 1.4 million.
So post debottlenecking, the capacity will increase to 4 lakh tons, right?
Definitely.
And so a couple of more questions on the mining thing. Now, if you look, we are expecting the public hearing for our iron mining expansion to be completed in June or July 24. Right? So how much time will it take for us to operate the higher capacity mining once we get the approval or once the public hearing is done?
See, in this particular permission, we don't need to go to MOES, which is the central authority. This will be taken care by the State Pollution Board. But, earlier there was state election, then there was a government change, and then there was center election. Because of all these elections, the entire thing got delayed by a few months. Once the results are out, hoping so June onwards, the process should, pick up some pace. I'm expecting by Q3, we should have the desired approvals in hand. And once we have the approvals, so end of Q3, early Q4, we'll start ramping up the capacity. That is what the target is right now.
Okay, so
sometimes, sometimes because of certain environment, we just can't control things. We just have to be patient.
Yeah, so for initial 9 months, we'll probably operate the mine at the current run rate. And in the last 3 months,
we see last 3 or 4 months, probably then we ramp up the capacity. The target is to, reach 3 million this year, and then further going forward from next financial year, further ramp up to 6 million tons.
Okay, so 3 million tons for this year and 6 million tons in FY26.
Yeah.
And the last question is on your maintenance shutdown that we had taken for the pellet and the ferro in the last year, which is on the first quarter of FY24, because of which the production for both the things were lower. Is there any maintenance shutdown planned for Q1 of FY25 in either of our facility, or will be operating at the rated?
No, see, pellet plant, of course, as I've been telling earlier as well, depending, on the environment, we usually plan shutdowns before monsoons. But this quarter, there is no shutdown of pellet plant for sure. But ferroalloys, they've already taken a shutdown, but it's an annual shutdown which is always planned in month of summer. But the production guidance for the entire year remains the same. There will be no change in that. So whether you take it in Q1, you take it in Q2 or Q3, but the production guidance for the entire year remains the same.
Yeah. And so update on the ferroalloy market, if you can probably.
Okay, so the ferroalloy market has certainly, moved up quite a bit. last few weeks. The primary reason has been there was a cyclone in Australia where one of the mines being operated by South 32 was out of production and they declared force majeure. And as per the new communication from them, the mines will come into production only probably by end of Q3 of FY25. They were producing high grade, which was 44 mn. So if you see the entire ferroalloy magnesium market globally, the entire trading volume is about 7 million tons. And that mine particularly was producing about 0.7 million tons. So 10% of the global production is out of supply, which is a huge volume. Because of that, there was an uptick in the magnesium prices globally, especially from China's side. And that is the reason the ferroalloys on the metal side, the prices increased drastically in last few weeks. So if you see, the prices are hovering about 65,000 per silicon manganese. Now currently it's about 85,000-87,000, with as high as about 90,000 rupees. So there is a uptick of about 30% compared to last month, only because of a shortfall in supply of manganese ore globally. No other reason.
Okay. Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Velekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand, means recently the iron ore prices have been quite volatile in international markets. In the month of January, they have increased and then they have come down and currently they have increased again. So what is the outlook of the international iron ore prices and also of the domestic iron ore scenario, if you can give some color on that?
See, so firstly, I'll update about the global scenario. So as you rightly mentioned, the iron ore prices, which is China, was down from 140 to about 100 bucks in the month of March. Again, there was a surge in the prices and reached about 120 levels. So the up-down has been going on and currently the prices are about 118 on the iron ore front. On the domestic side, as you're aware, there has been uptick in the steel demand. And so accordingly, the iron ore prices have gone up domestically as well. As Mr. Gandhi mentioned in his opening remarks, yesterday there was an auction conducted by OMC, who is one of the biggest suppliers. There was a premium of about 1,000 rupees on the fines. So of course, there has been an uptick in the iron ore pricing domestically as well. Now, per se Godavari, I would like to specifically mention one thing here is, what we need to understand is, we need to really, perceiving Godavari's operations or Godavari's numbers, away from the export market, because there has been a surge in the domestic demand of iron ore and pellet supply, especially in the domestic market where we're sitting, which is Chhattisgarh. Additional capacity of DRI has been added, of close to 2 million tons. And with the current expansion happening in the local surrounding, the capacity which will be further added is about another million tons. So to feed these DRI mills, we are sitting in a very sweet spot where everything will be sold domestically going forward as well. So I would say pellet prices and iron ore prices domestically will remain higher compared to export market for at least good, couple of quarters.
Yeah, thanks for that insight. Second is, on an annual basis, if we see that employee expenses have increased by 17% year over year and other expenses have come down. So what is the kind of run rate we can expect for FY25 and maybe as we expand in future for both employee and other expenses?
See, from the employee side, there are a couple of things. One is, of course, the annual increment, which we've been giving to our employees on annual basis, which they likely deserve. And second is, we have put in a note, so we have announced the ESOP scheme for our employees of senior level. So we've done a provision about 3 crore rupees in the Q4 basis that is the accounting standard. So if you see the average increment in employee expenses is about 10-11% on annual basis, which is a standard increment basis what we give. And other operating expenses, see, other operating expenses includes all the things, which is contractors, raw materials and other things as well. So the market is quite volatile. Last year, the raw material prices are on the quite higher side. This year it has come down. So it will keep varying. But overall, we still maintain a healthy EBITDA margin of, say, 20-25% going forward.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. You may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Dhey from Niveshaya Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Dhey.
Yeah, please.
So, was my question audible or should I repeat?
No, we couldn't hear anything. Please come again.
There were some reports suggesting that the sponge iron imports in the country has been on the increasing trend. So, what is the scenario going forward that we see and also the prices of the same in the coming future, especially in the Q1 and Q2?
You mean sponge iron? So because that's a news to me. Probably a little bit of cargo of HBI, which is the gas-based GRI, which is made in Middle East, might be imported into the country. But apart from that, I don't think so. We do import a lot of sponge iron. Rather, we do export some of sponge iron to neighboring countries like Bangladesh, Nepal, and those. So probably I need to check on the data. But this is the news to me that we are importing sponge iron. We import scrap. Probably we import iron ore, but sponge iron being imported, I really need to check on my data and come back to you on that, please.
Correct, sir. Thanks a lot. And also, sir, I had this question regarding the CapEx that we are doing in the hot rolled space. So, which are the products that we are looking to get into?
So talk about the 2 million greenfield project which we can start going forward.
Yeah, integrated.
So we are only focusing on HR coils of width of 1250 mm above. Nothing else. It will be a single mill of 2 million ton HR coil with width size of 1250 mm above. Nothing else.
Correct, sir. Also, sir, you mentioned that we import iron ore and not the sponge iron. So, what are your views on the imports that are happening from the Chinese counterparts?
I'm talking about we as in a country, and whatever iron ore is being imported into the country is not from China, it's mainly from either Australia or Brazil. So, I'm assuming port-based plants, bigger plants like probably ArcelorMittal, JSW. So, I have few reports where, some volumes of imports have started coming into India. Especially by the bigger players like and ArcelorMittal, especially our port base. People who are sitting inland, like probably we or any other peer company, they're not importing.
So was this imports because of higher FP quantity in the ore or any other reasons?
It can be the quality plus as well it can be the quantity as well because as you're aware, India's steel production is gradually going up year on year. And the supply in the domestic market remains tight because the mines which have been auctioned are still, taking its own pace to come into production. So, the reason can be both. It can be the commercial value, it can be the quality as well. It will be difficult for me to comment what is the reason why imports are being done in India. But yeah, some imports are starting coming into India now, especially by the bigger players in the which are port base.
Correct, sir. Thanks a lot. That was really helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So one question on the crushing and the beneficiation plant, which is, for the 6 million ton. This is, if I'm correct, for the Ari Dongri mines, right?
Correct.
Yes. Yes. And any update on if we are looking to start the Boria Tibu mines in the near future?
Okay. So on the just to update on the Ari Dongri mines, so we have the EC which is under process also includes the EC for beneficiation. Currently, we have a 0.6 million permission for beneficiation, for which we have already done the capex. Once we get the approval, we start the plant. And for the remaining, once we get the approval, we start the CapEx cycle and complete that as well. So basically, the beneficiation of 6 million along with the mining expansion will happen together because both the approvals will be received together. On the Boria Tibu side, as we mentioned a few months back, we have shut down operations at the moment because of the mines being commercially unviable. Because the mines has huge quantities of low grade compared to the Idongri mines. So we are putting up a beneficiation plant as well there, for which designing has already been done. We have started the paperwork to apply for the permissions. And once we get the permissions, we will spend on the capex and beneficiate and then bring the iron ore from Boria Tibu mines. But sitting in FY25, it will at least take 3 years from now on for the mines to be operational again. So we can look at FY28 for any iron ore coming from Boria Tibu mines for consumption to the steel plant. At least 3 years from now on, nothing before that.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful. So my other question is on the capex. Can you just provide me a number for the next couple of years? Can we assume 800 crores of capex in FY25 and then 1,000 crores in FY26? Assuming that, the steel plant capex should also start from the next year onwards.
See, for FY25, all our debottlenecking capex has already been completed. Barring the rolling mill, which is already in a trial production. The major capex which will happen is on the new pellet capacity of 2 million. On the mining side, to ramp up the capacity along with the beneficiation plant. And then the new solar plant, which will be set up to provide power to the pellet plant. To put together all these, we have already invested certain amount. And the remaining about 700 crores will be spent in FY25 to complete that capex cycle. And for next year, since the new greenfield, we hope to start the work and end of, probably Q3. So the capex required will be, on the very minimal side, probably land acquirement and all those things. From FY26, we can pay 1,000 crores, and then going forward, probably the capex will go up drastically once we start the supply of equipment and other activities.
Okay, sure. So if I could just squeeze one more question in. You earlier mentioned that we won't be putting up a coke oven for the integrated steel plant. Is that team currently still, in the, down the line, would we be thinking of...
As of now, we are firm on our thought process after a lot of due deliberation. We have no intention of setting up coke oven in the phase one. Although we will be having the permission, we have applied for the permission along with the other capacity. But yeah, in the phase one, we have no intention of spending on coke oven. That is the scenario at the moment. So it means status quo. Because see, to be honest, Indonesia has built a lot of coke capacities which are primarily for export purpose. So today also, it's better to import coke rather than importing coking coal and use for your blast. So commercially also, it doesn't make sense to invest in coke oven right now, where you are able to get import cheap cokes and using the blast furnace. So as of now, we are firm on not putting up a coke oven in phase one for sure.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Yogan Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Abhishekji, once we are done with the iron ore pellet expansion and at our Silpara plant and the sponge iron and pellet and rolling mill that we have expanded, so will there be any further scope to add something in this plant?
No. So, at this complex, there will be no further scope to, add further capacity. Primarily for two reasons. One is, of course, the space constraint. Secondly, currently our complex is, it's another area, industrial area, where it has been declared as CPA, which is critically quoted area by MOEF. So basically any industry which is under CPA category, there will be no further expansion allowed by MOEF or even the State Pollution Board. So basically both those things, we have no intention of expanding any capacity in this complex. Whatever expansion will happen in the new complex, which is the greenfield one.
Okay. And sir, what about Urla Industrial Unit?
See, Urla, we have already done, we already invested on debottleneck in a pyrolysis company, which is the Hira Pyrolysis. That has already been done last year. And this is that we, our production will go up this year. And after that, there will be no further scope because, again, for the same reason, because, again, Urla is also a CPA. So since pyrolysis requires coke addition to, you know, make metal, so there will be no further expansion in that complex as well.
Understood. And sir, only coming to your expansion on the iron ore and the pellet side. So far, what our business has been that we have had surplus or, you know, enough pellet capacity to consume our entire iron ore. While now, with the expansion that is coming up, we'll have a surplus iron ore capacity. And we, being a captive miner, we can't sell this. So any specific thoughts on how we use this? Or we will keep this iron ore as inventory and we'll keep using as and when needed?
No, no. So there is a difference of understanding. So firstly, going forward, once you start mining 6 million, we will be fully captive and we won't be having any iron ore to sell in the market because once the new pellet plant gets commissioned, so my capacity will be about 4.7 million tons. So, you know, after beneficiating to reach to a certain desired grade of Fe, there will be a loss of about 15%-18%. So once you compute that, 6 million of 18%, so we will be getting about 5 million of processed iron ore to use for a pellet plant. So technically, we don't have anything to sell in the open market. It will be totally captive.
Okay, understood.
And secondly, and the most important point is, although our mines were given to us on captive basis, but after the new MMDR Act came into picture, there is a provision where the captive miners can sell up to 50% of their capacity, but they have to pay additional royalty. So if you say today's market, the additional royalty will cost me about ₹1,200. So it doesn't make sense to sell iron ore in the open market by paying additional royalty.
Okay, understood. So, sir, I also wanted to understand on the crushing and beneficiation plant that you want to set up and how that would affect our economics in terms of costing and margins. So you also mentioned that after our mining is completely ramped up to 6 million, beneficiation will help us, and then 15%-18% would be the loss in the production.
See, currently also, we are showing about, you know, 12%-15%. But what is happening is everything is coming to plant. Beneficiation is happening in plant, and we are handling the dumps in the plant side. Whereas once we start the beneficiation in the mine side, so everything will be beneficiated in the mine. So the 15% which we are throwing away will be, you know, handled in the mine, and we will save on the transportation cost. So today, for example, I'm paying ₹1,000 per ton to transport from mine to plant. So, you know, 15% means straight away ₹150. So ₹150 on the entire volume will straight away add to, you know, reducing my cost of my iron ore. So that is the logic behind setting up a plant in the mine area and not beneficiating in the plant. That is the logic behind that.
Understood. And sir, overall, how does the beneficiation plant help in terms of costing or something? Or if you could just help us understand, suppose today your iron ore cost is 2,800, will that cost come down? Or because in terms of grade, we don't have much scope because we already have a 63%-64% Fe content iron ore.
So I tell you, the average grade which we, you know, are currently producing and probably will further produce is about 61.62, 61.5, you can say. That is being beneficiated to a level of 68, and from there we are making pellets of 66. So the purpose of putting a beneficiation is to upgrade my 61-62 iron ore to 68 level and then make quality pellets of 66 grade. It has nothing to do with the costing. It is more of producing quality iron ore concentrate, which you can feed to my pellet plant. Rather, beneficiating will add to my cost because there is a cost for beneficiation.
Got it.
And then beneficiating is to upgrade iron ore to a certain level and then making pellets of high grade. You see, do not beneficiate, and if we use the iron ore as it is, we won't be able to produce a pellet of more than 62, which will be a very, you know, very commercial grade, and the quality will not be substantial, you know, suitable for steel operations. Operationally, efficiency-wise.
Got it, sir. That's helpful, sir. Thank you, and I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to strictly 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I missed the part where you mentioned how much capacity we are going to commission this year. Can you please reiterate that? And when are we going to commission that? In which quarter or which month?
So you're talking about iron ore mines capacity?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so current, so as we have given a production guidance for FY25, current BB and Visas to produce 3 million tons. So currently our mining expansion is under approval stage from the State Pollution Board. It got a little delayed because of the elections. So once we have that in permission in hand, we will ramp the capacity and we target to produce 3 million tons by end of FY25 against 2.4 million of FY24.
All right, got it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chintan from Abans Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I on?
Yeah, hello. Yeah,
yeah, please tell me.
Yeah, sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you give us EBITDA per ton or EBITDA margin for billet and our roll products?
Vijay, please, go ahead.
Yeah. See, we don't give the numbers, you know, sponge iron or billet. We give the consolidated number and we don't have it with us right now.
Okay. Okay, that was I will take from offline. Sir, can you give us any guidance on a debt to equity ratio for the further capex? Because right now we don't have any kind of the debt on the balance sheet. So, can you guide us on a debt and equity ratio?
No, debt and equity, like, you know, we have said that we are investing about 1,000 crore in the mine pellet plant as well as solar power plant for the mine. Put together is close to about 1,000 crore. And to that extent, we are already, you know, having the cash on our balance sheet. So no more debt will be required for this. Coming on the integrated steel plant, that is expected to take about 3 years from the date of receipt of approval to commission the project. And with the commissioning of new pellet plant in the next financial year, our cash flow from internal accruals is going to go up. So we hope to commission, complete the majority of the capex through the internal accrual and result in debt, shortfall of whatever cash accrual and the debt, you know, total investment required will be balancing debt. So we don't think that we will be able to, require to take more than 1,500 crore kind of debt in order to complete the new project. So rest everything should go from the internal accrual. That's what is our expectation is as of now. Now this figure can change somewhere here and there depending on the operating margins, etc.
Okay.
So and if we are able to maybe require to take a debt of 1,500 crore so, then that will be, you know, less than 0.3 times, you know, of the net worth, of the present net worth. And this debt, we may be required to take it after 2 years. So that time our net worth will further go up. So it will be negligible.
Okay, understood, sir. Okay, that's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Roy from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, sir.
Morning.
So, can you give me a breakup for MS round and TMT bar for full year FY24? How much is the MS round and how much is the TMT bar sales volume?
See, firstly,
TMT we do not in presentation. TMT bar, we don't make it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we have only MS round only.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. And sir, last, you said here, sir, you have saved money from fuel like solar by adding solar and new turbine. So how much we expect for FY25 from this group part?
No, that is very difficult. Like, you know, in solar, where versus the grid cost, you save minimum 3.5 rupees per unit.
Okay. Okay.
So whatever additional power will be required, you know, will be saved through, you know, solar.
Exactly. And sir, any outlook for margin, operating margin for FY24 or FY25?
We believe that whatever margins we have achieved in the current financial year, you know, should be minimum there. Now that depends on the selling price as well. So if the selling price for some reason or the other goes down, then the margin can go down. Otherwise, we are, you know, quite set to, you know, achieve the margin of over 24-25% if the current price is sustained.
Okay. Sir, any comment on the realization side? If I see your Q4 realization, you accept pellet, all is down. Some more nearby 12-14% year on year basis. For any comment for Q1 also, any this will happen same type or the pricing?
So for Q1, the market has definitely gone up because there has been a surge in demand for finished steel post Holi. People are quite bullish going forward. So prices are almost 10% up compared to Q4 versus Q1 of FY25 across the chain. Be it Pino Pellet, be it DRI, be it billets or be it finished steel. So prices are almost 10% up across the chain post Holi, which is so Q4 versus Q1, you can expect a 10% higher price realization.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Mehta from Strategic Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted two ratios. Aspect turnovers for the pellet plant that we are putting up and the steel plant we are putting up. A ballpark figure would do.
Asset turnover ratio.
Yes.
So, like, you know, this 2 million ton additional pellet plant, we'll have a turnover of close to about at about 10,000 rupees a ton, and you know, 100% utilization will have a turnover of 2,000 crores. And investment including mine and beneficiation, solar power plant is 1,000 crores. So it is 2x. What is your investment?
Okay. And for the steel plant?
Steel plant, say 2 million ton steel plant into 50,000 rupees a ton.
Okay. So let's say about 10,000 crores of revenue?
In terms of revenue. And capex is 6,000 crores.
Yes, perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shivam Saxena from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Just having one question, I wanted to check on any impact of the ongoing heat wave on the operations of the company. Just
no.
Update on
No. Zero impact. And to be honest, even for during the monsoon period where usually steel industry suffers, we maintain our 100% production capacity. That's why we have developed infrastructure.
Okay, any shortages on employees getting sick because of the ongoing heat wave?
No, but you know, with more and more CapEx going into, you know, mechanized operations, so even if there is a little bit of shortage in terms of, you know, contractors and employees, it doesn't disturb our production volumes. We are well equipped to, you know, handle all these situations. Because this is, you know, it's not a unusual phenomenon. For us, you know, being in Raipur, where the temperature is usually, you know, plus 40 degrees, we have been facing this since, you know, every year. So we are well equipped to handle these situations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Arora from School of Intrinsic Compounding. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, as a percentage of our pellet sales, how much comes from the lower grade versus the higher grade?
It's 50-50, yeah. So 50% is of lower grade and 50% is of higher grade because the remaining high grade is being consumed in-house for our value-added steel, which is DRI and then further crude steel and rolled products. So the sales volume is 50-50 for both the ways, 66 and 63.
And sir, going forward, do you think that after our expansion of iron ore mines comes up, so this mix will change further towards the higher grade?
So yeah, so the new plant which we are setting up, we will be rather producing high grade pellets only. So further, once the new capacity is in line, then the ratio will, you know, it will be about 25 of 63 and remaining will be the high grade. once the annual capacity goes up and the new plant comes into production in FY26.
And sir, how much higher EBITDA per ton shall we get, like as a percentage versus lower grade and higher grade, just for a ballpark idea?
Okay, so the average yearly premium, you know, we usually, you know, command, you know, from our buyers is about $20. You can say $20 or 15 rupees a ton, 1500 Indian rupees. That's a yearly average between the 63 and the hybrid.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikhar Mundra from Vivo Commercial. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, just one thing. What kind of incremental EBITDA we are expecting from the steel plant at the present prices?
See, already last year, FY24, you know, we have increased our steel capacity from 3.75 to 4.75. And this year we have given a production guidance of 0.5 million tons. So addition of, you know, only 25 KT. So we don't do a substantial improvement in terms of our steel capacity because we already, you know, we're close to 90% of our production capacity. So I don't see a substantial jump in, you know, additional EBITDA from the steel side. Of course, if the prices go up across the supply chain because our iron ore prices are intact, we can see a substantial improvement in EBITDA. That's the only upside I would say.
Okay. I'm talking about the 6,000 crores of capex.
The way we have envisaged the entire project, bare minimum we're looking at a big of about 10,000 rupees a ton.
Okay, got it. At these present prices?
Yes, current scenario, definitely.
Got it, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Mangal Agarwal from Rakesh Mangal & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, considering the capex, what will be the top line growth and trade margin for FY25?
See, I think FY25, we have already reached our, you know, maximum capacity for all the operations. So we don't see additional revenue being generated because of additional capacity or additional capex. Whatever additional revenue is going to come in on the top line will happen in FY26 once my new pellet plant comes into production.
Okay. And nice to hear you that, sir, that whatever further in capex plan, we are trying to come from cash accruals. That is very nice. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving the opportunity. So, on slide number 12, I can see there is a projected capex of 6,000 crores of integrated steel plant. Expected timeline is 36 months from environmental approval. So, when can we expect the approvals and what kind of products is this, like producing sponge iron or steel billet? And further, what kind of top line we can expect after everything is installed after 36 months? Just a ballpark.
On the timeline, we have already, you know, mentioned in the other discussion. Due to the elections of the state and center, the things are getting delayed. We are hopeful we should get the NMG clearance by end of Q2 or early of Q3. So once that is, we have the entire approvals in hand. From there, we can assume about 30 to 36 months for commissioning of the project. And as Mr. Gandhi mentioned, once that is commissioned, considering a finished steel price of say 51 rupees a ton, so for 2 million, the additional revenue of 10,000 crores. But, you know, it's 3 years from now, on 3.5 years, which is a very long time in a commodity market.
Okay, and what are the end user industries for this, what will you produce? Sponge iron or steel billets?
No. So we won't be going for a secondary coal-based GRI route. We are trying to install a blast furnace route, which is the primary route. So blast furnace, then the SMS, which is crude steel. And then, so we'll be producing SR coil, and the primary buyers for that will be automobile, pipe manufacturers like APL Apollo, and, you know, other segments. So we will be, you know, producing the same quality and, you know, in the same market as players like SAIL, Tata, you know, all the big guys, JSW, Aarti Mittal, basically the HR call sheet, which you use for automobile and other you know, value-added products.
So roughly we can expect the revenue coming in after FY27 or FY28?
I think second half of FY28 parcel, and then FY29 will be the full revenue once we are able to operate 100% capacity.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the if ever we complete all the capex, like the integrated steel plant capex and all other capex, so what could be the revenue that we could generate and EBITDA that we could generate?
See, on the revenue, Dhinaji, please go ahead.
Yeah. See, we already discussed, I think, this question 2-3 times in the call. The revenue with the additional 2 million ton at what it is an average 50,000 rupees ton could be about 10,000 crores, but that is 3 years away. EBITDA, we are looking at an EBITDA of 10,000 rupees a ton on the proposed capex of integrated steel plant, but that would primarily depend on the prevailing demand supply scenario, pricing, etc. But on an average longer term, we expect 10,000 rupees a ton EBITDA margin on this integrated steel plant on a longer term average basis.
Okay, thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Aditya Velikar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, earlier in the call you mentioned that we will be sourcing metallurgical coke rather than coking coal. So can you quantify the kind of advantage we get from that?
See, the only advantage in the current scenario is, you know, it's cheaper to import coke straight away for using blast furnace rather than importing coking coal, investing capex in the coke oven and then making coke for your blast furnace. So I've done the math. So today, commercially, it's cheaper to import coke rather than, you know, importing coking coal and then investing heavily into coke oven and then using in your blast furnace. That is the primary reason. Because Indonesia has come up with huge capacity. Currently, they are 15 million, going up to 20 million tons, which is primarily an export market for them. And already, a lot of cokes are already happening into India. Okay. That's the only reason for not putting up a coke oven and rather importing coke directly.
Okay, so we are saving some capex on installing coke oven there.
I think for a 2 million to feed a 2 million 2 million steel plant, the capex will be as high as about 1,000 crore rupees. So it's a substantial money we will be saving. Plus commercially also in terms of operating cost, importing coke is cheaper than importing coking coal today.
Understood. And one last one. So what is the competitive strength we have for our steel integrated steel plant? So we are installing 2 million ton with a capex of 6,000 crore. So what is the industry standard for a million ton of installation? How much capex industry needs? And what is the differentiating factor for our integrated steel plant?
See, of course, one is going forward and today also is our iron ore mining, which is at a zero premium, you know. So that will be, you know, that is the biggest advantage we have compared to our peers who, of course, people do have, like Tata has, but compared to others, they don't have. They have bought the mining from auction, so they are paying certain premium. So that is the biggest advantage. We want to, you know, capitalize our iron ore capacity for further value-added steel. And on a ballpark figure, yes, industry standard is about 4,500 crores per million. We are targeting about 3,000 crores. There are a couple of primary reasons. One is, of course, the saving on the coke oven capacity. Second is, we won't be going for coal-based power capacity to feed to our steel plant. We will be going for a group captive solar plant. So that will save us huge capex. And third is, see, we are already investing on the iron ore in current complex. So the 2 million pellet plant, which will be commissioned next year, that will be for a merchant sale only for a couple of years. Once my blast furnace comes into production, the entire 2 million will be feeding my blast furnace. So, you know, we are saving a huge amount on three accounts. One is the iron ore capacity to feed the blast furnace. Second is the coke oven. And third is the coal-based power plant. So, you know, put together all these three, we envisage we can save about, you know, 1500 to 2000 crores per million compared to, you know, what a nation's standard is. That's the only reason.
Yeah, that's quite helpful. So one last one on, so the kind of EBITDA per ton we are targeting is 10,000 rupees per ton. So is it not slightly conservative, means given some competitors are having EBITDA per ton of 16,000 rupees per ton?
See, the problem is, you know, if I am able to start the milk production today, I can say, yeah, probably I'm, you know, say 15,000, 20,000 a ton. But 3 years down the line, 3 years down the line, we don't know where the market is going to be, how the demand supply is going to play, how the INO market is going to play. Because it's a commodity market, right? If you want to assume to get market, yes, we'll be saving much more than 10,000 rupees. But on a conservative side, in the long term, we feel 10,000 is a good number to, you know, probably commit or probably, you know, to discuss on. That's the only reason. Because 3 years is a long time from now on.
Yeah, understood. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity once again. So just one question from my end. If we look on a Q-on-Q basis for the other expenses, you know, the other expenses have gone up by roughly 25%. Can you just elaborate on the key factors behind this?
I think there was some export of pellet, and the freight for the outgoing freight is also included in that. That is one primary reason for the other expenses going up.
Correct. So we were exporting pellets till month of Feb, when the domestic market demand was quite subdued. And once, you know, post, you know, in March, once, you know, when the China market came down and there was a reverse cycle in domestic market, when the demand from the domestic market started coming, we stopped exporting. So Mr. Gandhi mentioned that is the reason primary for the expenses to go up.
And then, of course, there is an additional production in steel billet, sponge iron, all the evaluated products. So, additional, you know, consumption of material, stores, spares, electricity, you know, all those things are there in that.
Yes, yes. Okay, okay. That is much more clearer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a last question from the line of Rakesh Roy from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have only one question. Can you give me the breakup for ferroalloy between the GPI, Hira and Alok for production and sales volume, both?
See, capacities I can tell you right away. Production numbers are not available. Capacity GPI is 16,500. Hira ferroalloy is 60,000 tons. And Alok ferroalloy is about 15,000. I think the numbers are given in our presentation as well.
Yes, sir, it is there. But
put together, I think there is a production of 18,000 tons or so.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, correct, sir. Okay, sir. I will take you offline.
GPL is operating at full capacity. Alok also operated at 90%. There was a lower volume in Hira ferroalloy.
Okay.
Yeah, close to about 42,000, 43,000 something.
Because we had taken a shutdown for modification of furnaces for better efficiency. That work is already over. So you can see the volume growth in Hira ferroalloy from Q1 FY25.
Okay. You are saying that the sales volume, na? 100% and Alok is 90% and Hira is 40%.
Yeah, Hira was
about 60%.
Yeah, 60%. Plus, so it's not sales volume, it's production as well as sales. Because whatever is being produced in Hira and Alok, it's totally for merchant sale. Then the traffic condition.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Mano. Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of earning conference call of Godavari Power Dispatch for FY24. We are confident that we have adequately addressed all your inquiries, queries. Should you have further questions or need any additional information, please feel free to reach us directly or contact our investor relations team at Go India Advisors. Once again, we sincerely thank you all for your participation and unwavering support. Thank you very much. With this, we conclude this call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.